Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose, and you guys are about to listen to part two of our reality reckoning with Bethany Frankel and Raquel Levis, Rachel Levis's interview. We really dive into a lot about Reddit. We dive into a lot about money and how greed has really shaped these people and what does it mean. And we just theorize a lot and it's really, really great. I do want to say, I believe it's in this episode that I come up with a great idea. So all of you listening now are bearing witness to this because Lala had a good idea. I did end up listening to her podcast and she said that Raquel should have had Bambi-eyed bitch or something. She should have had some sort of t-shirt. And I said on this podcast that her podcast should be called Hey Mistress. And the premise, as she kind of suggested, would be people who have been the other woman in the relationship. I will edit this for Raquel. I will find talent. I will speak on it. I will do whatever it takes because I think that is a great idea. Do I think she'll necessarily be the most dynamic podcast host? No, I find most of her, I don't know if charm is the right word, but I find her mostly entertaining in her facial expressions and her like physical presence and kind of her reactions to the world that around her. Her speaking voice, I think we can agree, could use some work, but with practice, hey, you guys know that I have a little bit of a vocal fry. I shake and so you know all day long. So I think that it is something that can be worked on with practice and I'm here to help. And I just wanted to be out here and say, Raquel, Rachel, if you are listening to this, Hey Mistress, the podcast. And if this gets stolen, you guys are my witnesses that this is my idea. Okay. All right. Here's part two.
Previously on
Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. It is interesting that Rachel, that she has this thing with mothers, like mothering, mm-hmm. like Bethany feels like Bethany made it very clear that she sees herself as a mother and to Rachel. And then Rachel had kind of talked about how Sheena kind of felt like she was a mother to Rachel. And whether it's performative on Sheena or Bethany's end or not, she does seem to be attracted to these situations where she's kind of like taken care of. And then, you know, she was with James, who has a very specific mother situation that he's got going on. So there seems to be like this like maternal theme with Rachel. And then, of course, she shares later. And this was probably the most powerful thing for me. And I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead. But that whole thing that Bethany did was just so gratuitous. But like, when she says that, like, she believes that she is a miracle, I think is what she says. I was like, damn, girl, that's really powerful because that can be a really wild thing to process. And I still don't fully understand it. And I'm going to be honest, I still think that there's a couple of pieces to her adoption story that we don't know about. That's not my business though. And I'm not going to be hung up on that the way that I would about, I don't know, other stuff. But that was really powerful to me. I don't know why that like really resonated with me, but people don't always talk about themselves like that. And I was like, good for you, girl. At least you don't let the haters get you down.
I know. And I know I saw some comments from people being like, really? She just said like she was a miracle. And I was like, I actually, she said that, again, that to me, I know, again, to me, that shows someone that's been to therapy. And that also, like, I think Rachel's adoption story, I'm not going to lie, like, it still very much confuses me. But Rachel does seem to have a very, very positive light on it. Like, I know people have like had this narrative of like, you know, and maybe Rachel has dealt with these feelings, but like this feeling of like, okay, so your mom was pregnant with you and your sister, her sister couldn't have kids. So she was just like, hey, like, do you want this kid?
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. We're not laughing at her or her mom, but it is like kind of like that's how she keeps presenting it. It's like, okay.
It is. But when you hear Rachel talk about it, Rachel says it in such a positive light. Now, whether Rachel like has had to deal with other emotions that come with that, maybe she has. However, she presents it in a way of very like positive. And so for her to say, like, you know, like she is a miracle, I think that that is powerful, because like she was like in a situation where, like, you know, her birth mom was able to have her, and then she was adopted by someone that really wanted her. And again, I'm not saying that I don't understand, like, again, with the birth mom as far as like wanting her, not wanting her, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that whole narrative that's Rachel is not, again, really like talked about it, because she does say it in such a positive light.
Right.
So I would love to know more about that, but there's no way Bethany was going to ask for anything.
No.
God forbid we get to know Rachel.
Yeah, no. This is actually about Bethany and her journey as a mother. And so she goes into her adoption story. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about backing it up, Bethany kind of monologuing with all the mean things that were said to Rachel?
I know that, like I said, that did not hit the way that Bethany wanted it to.
We already talked about Sheena and the alleged assault. And I think we're ready for part three. It's funny because this is how I remember things, but I was in Starbucks when, Bethany said, so there's been talk about a pill bottle being thrown around, and I blame Bethany because I was at the wrong Starbucks where I placed my mobile order. I thought I placed it at the standalone, but I'd actually placed it at the Kroger across the street that I was going to later. And I stood for like 10 minutes just like in awe of her having this conversation, this starting off. There's like a pill bottle thrown around or something. I'm like, is this how we're gonna? Okay, all right. And I totally had to have cold coffee later, which was fine, I guess. But so she asks how being on. The HIPAA of it all, this whole thing is HIPAA. It's so irritating and frustrating. And I feel bad for Rachel, but I also am like, do some research. And I'm definitely like that to Bethany. I will say I love how Rachel, she really has some candid, she says some funny shit sometimes. Or like very like self-aware, I guess, things is one way to put it. Like, how did it make her feel that Andy Cohen in the Vanity Fair article indicated that she was maybe medicated? And she goes, well, I'm medicated, you know, kind of like she did.
Right.
Union. Well, I am seeking mental health treatment. Like, hey, I appreciate the honesty, ma'am. Unfortunately, she then says, but to say that I must be heavily medicated because my behavior was erratic or I didn't have emotions is not okay in my eyes. I feel that violates some sort of HIPAA law. And to make assumptions like that, it's damaging to a person. And Bethany says, an employer cannot say that a person that works for them is medicated. I mean, I know that. That's a private piece of information. I just don't know where the line is. And I'm like, Bethany, you know that that's not, you know that Andy, first of all, Andy Cohen doesn't work on the show, okay? He's not a producer for Vanderpump Rules. Second of all, you know that he's not a doctor. And you know that HIPAA pertains to like medical professionals. Okay. So like Meadows in Arizona cannot disclose, whatever Rachel was or wasn't taking, if she was taking anything at all during her stay at the facility. Right. Which some people allege to have had that information, which is why it was so annoying, but they can't do that. That would be breaking a HIPAA law. Andy Cohen saying that someone on the cast is medicated, you know, the same cast that was throwing around a Xanax bottle, that's not the same. It's not the same thing, Bethany, and you know that, Bethany.
No, it's not. And I have no doubt that someone or something was said for this narrative of this is against HIPAA. This is, you know what I mean? Someone had to have like said this before this like interview, because they said it so much during part. So it's like, but Bethany, you know, that's not how it works. You know, like, for instance, like even like, let's say if like I was in like a corporate job and like my boss went around and told people that like I was on like antidepressants, would that be a really shitty thing to do? 100%. But that's a whole different situation. That's still not violating my HIPAA, just so we're clear. He's not, you know what I mean? Like, that would just be a shitty situation. And like, that's not cool. Andy saying that, because he was asked about like how Rachel was during the reunion, and him saying like, I wonder, or I think she was medicated, you know, I can understand Rachel having a feeling, some kind of uncomfortable feeling with hearing Andy say that. I get that.
Sure.
However, Bethany, you know that this is not HIPAA being violated. Like, you know that. So I hate that you again saw this like little nugget of like information that Rachel said of like, oh, let's go with this. Bravo is, you know, breaking people's HIPAA laws.
Yeah.
It's just not, that's not, it's stupid. I'm sorry. Like, it is. Like, why would you say that? And like, that is.
And allow her to say that.
And allow her to say that and not like be like, well, hang on, let's back it up. Like, that's not, you know what I mean? Like, I understand like you feeling a certain way about it, but that's actually not like what HIPAA is and things like that. But no. And then she goes on again to say it about like this person who was in Remedos, mm-hmm. that then like got out and allegedly like went to the press and said those things. Again, a very shitty thing to do. And I am actually sorry that happened, because I've talked about this on Instagram. Like, I have been in like treatment before, and I obviously have no like reality like status or like star status. But to hear someone like, if I was vulnerable and shared things, and then they just went off and told other people, and I found out about that, that really sucks.
Yes.
So like, but again, HIPAA's not related to that. I'm sorry. Like, it's not. It is a sucky thing. And like what you said earlier, like as far as like HIPAA laws, if Bravo were to call, or someone were to call the Meadows and say like, hey, is Rachel there? They are legally not allowed to confirm or deny, right?
Right, right.
That is what HIPAA entails.
Right.
Not this stuff. So it's like, her saying that, the rest of the interview, people are like, I don't want to hear anything you have to say after that, because this is, that was stupid. There was no reason for that.
But do you think that like you said, I'm just like, where did, it almost felt like kind of disjointed, almost like, was there something? Because I didn't fully understand what she was saying about the person at the hospital or the center either. Like, I'm like, well, was there a HIPAA violation that happened and we're not allowed to talk about it, or it wasn't to the like same scale and we're like kind of referencing it, but we can't really tell the full story. Like, it's just that the whole thing. And the way that Bethany responded was so weird. And because like quippy ass Bethany would probably be like, well, yeah, I would need to be on medication, too, if I had just heard all the things that I read. I mean, God, my God. Wow, Bethany. Wow. Like, I would think that she would say something like that.
You would think. Yeah.
But instead she goes, yeah, your employer. I mean, I know, like, girl, I'm just curious. And I'm also drawing from this like random Instagram drama that was going on of like people claiming to know and have evidence that she was where she was or wasn't during this time period. And I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. like, is that what they were alluding to? Like, people making false reports, or I don't know. It was so weird.
And here's the thing. If it came out that like the Meadows themselves were actually telling people about like, you know what I mean, like where she was in treatment, that is actually a HIPAA violation. Now, from my understanding, that's not what's happened, right? They're more focusing on employees or Andy, who, again, like you said, is not a producer on BPR. Mm-hmm. Housewives, yes. Like,
yes.
Again, Vanderpump, no. He literally just hosts the reunion.
Right.
So it is, I am curious, like, how did we get to this narrative? Who was it? Was it actually Rachel who read what Andy said? And then if that happened with this girl who got out of the treatment center and told press things, was it Rachel who was like, this feels like this violates like my HIPAA rights? Like, or was it someone in her family? Was it even Bethany that like brought this up? You know what I mean? Like before the interview, I would love to know how we got there, but Bethany knows better. She knows better. She is a smart person. Yeah. She knows better. Like that whole, there is a lot still more questions with that. But when they got to that point of the interview, I was like, oh God, this is like, Rachel, unbearable. This is what people are going to focus on.
Yeah.
Like for whole part three. Sorry,
and it
girl.
It sucks that Bethany didn't edit that out, like, because again,
she could have,
and there was other stuff in this episode, which we are now going to get to, that I think we could have spent a lot more fucking time on, and we would have been really invested in, if you just cut that whole thing about HIPAA, like, cut it out. It doesn't, it's not true, that's not how HIPAA works, and I feel like there's something else there that either Rachel doesn't want to say or is confused about herself because maybe she doesn't know the full extent of it. And Bethany's just like milking every second for, you know, ad revenue or something. I don't know.
Well, and that whole part could have just been like, there was speculation that you were at a spa.
Yeah.
And not at a treatment facility. Where you clarify that up. Bam. Rachel clarifies it. Done. That's all we needed. That is all we needed.
I'm so sorry. Okay. So here we start getting to the juicy part, right? Bethany asks Rachel, did anyone from Bravo reach out to her post-reunion out of concern, wanting to help you, wanting to pay for your treatment, and what was Bravo's reaction and involvement? And she says, no, there was no checkup. Unfortunately, I asked for tuition, I guess, to be covered and for my treatment. They refused to pay for it. And she says, I have a theory that it's because if they paid for it, they would have to admit to some sort of liability. Now, do I think that Rachel came up with that on her own? I do not. I think that Bethany definitely planted that. And it's a interesting point. But it's just so far off course from what we were just talking about, because it did seem like Rachel was more kind of invested in this idea that someone from the facility that was either there, like, leaked information about her being there or spread misinformation about her being somewhere else. And then we kind of get into this, this is what I don't like about Bethany. The money part of it all. And like, was she in debt? And was she paid more than the interns? And is she suffering? And da 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 da. Like, I just don't like it. And I think it's fair probably for her to like wonder if Bravo would pay for her treatment. I don't know if she would have a case, but like, because so many people were saying that she was crazy and that they would never accept her back on the show unless she did treatment. I'm wondering if maybe that was a motivating factor. I have so many questions. And Bethany, like, fucking concentrating on the money and keeps saying she's in debt. And I'm like, is she in debt? Like, has she? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, like, what narrative are you going with? At the very beginning, Rachel said she went to treatment because she wanted to understand her behaviors and patterns.
Right.
Now that's switched. Now are you saying because of the reunion and how you were, and this is what the words they use, emotionally abused at that reunion, then you went to treatment? Because if you go that narrative, then I can understand, not that Bravo would, but I can maybe understand more of why you asked Bravo right. to like pay for your, what Rachel said, tuition, which I had to laugh that she said tuition because that very much, it was Rachel. Yeah. So like, to me, like, where are you going? You're like, I wish you would have asked, like, why did you feel that, like, really asked it, like, why did you, because they kind of maybe alluded to it a little bit, like, but why did you feel like Bravo needed to pay for your treatment?
Yeah.
Because, like, at the beginning, you said you chose to go there to understand your behaviors, to have this goal of why you seem attractive to, like, unavailable men or, like, men that are bad. So that, to me, confused me. And I felt like if we would have, like, if there would have been an interviewer, and I think they could have did it in a respectful way where they called out Rachel's behaviors, but then also focus on this, like what she said at the beginning as far as why she went into treatment, it could have been a whole different narrative. But because then it was spun into, okay, Bravo said you asked for Bravo to pay for your treatment, they denied, then it turned into this big money thing. Mm-hmm. And then after that part, I listened to it and I was like, okay, so Rachel, so like pretty much it sounds like if they would have given you the number that you wanted, you would have went back.
Yeah.
So like, is this whole thing about money? It kind of turned into that. And I really, before listening to that, this part, I really didn't think that was it. Like, but then as we go on in the interview, it very much does turn into that, the money, the money, the money, the, you know, what, her wanting to be paid, what Tom and Ariana were getting paid, her, like, again, asking for Bravo to pay for treatment, and then, you know, her really thinking about coming back, but then them saying no to those things. Like, it just, I was like, oh, man. Like, that part, I was just like, oh, like, Rachel and Bethany, like, what are you wanting from this? I don't know. Okay, Bethany, so you're trying to say, to me, it almost sounds like you just don't think there should be reality TV at all, which fair, right. That's what you think.
Yeah.
But then you're also thinking that people should be paid for these behaviors, but then also you think production should intervene when these behaviors happen.
Right.
So what is it?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't either. And also, it sounded like, just to emphasize your point, like, it sounded like Rachel was planning on going to rehab. I don't know where that came from, to the facility before the reunion aired. Like, it sounded like she was saying that
yes.
things were lined up for her to go after yep. the reunion. So she couldn't have known how the reunion was going to go.
Right.
And so was she going? I just feel, as I often do with this show, that we're not getting all of the information, or that the information is being spun in a really particular way. I'm also right. like, and it's really not my business, but like, what is Rachel's financial situation? Because I remember a couple of years after she'd been on the show, I really didn't like her for a long time. I actually didn't like her until season 10, particularly. And mm-hmm. where I found her absolutely thrilling. But I remember hating her reunion dress and being like, what is up with this girl and her reunion dress? It's so tacky. And then I Googled her, and her net worth was like more than everybody else on there. It was in the millions. And there was like a kind of like a rumor or narrative or a thought going around that like she had money from pageants, and also her parents were really, really wealthy. Now,
yeah, I've heard that.
I'm wondering, like, is she saying like Bravo should have paid for the treatment because like of some, like they should have benefits. Is that what she's trying to imply? Like there should be some sort of medical benefits because oftentimes like inpatient treatment like that is not covered by insurance. So you're going to pay out of pocket for that regardless of where you work, whether you work for Bravo or if you work for a high school or wherever, you know, that's, you know, like just like it's all kinds of stuff, plastic surgery, all kinds of things that insurance doesn't always cover. And so I kind of wondered if that was the angle that she was taking where like Bravo should have paid for it. And it's, I mean, but then it's also kind of like, I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't pay for it. It's not like it would be a nice thing of them to do, I guess. Like, and it's not like they don't have the money. So, you know, but it just, it was that whole thing about them paying for it and the HIPAA and the treatment and the liability. And I was like, this is really, really hard for the average person to like dissect because it just feels like we're missing a piece of information, or maybe that they're missing a piece of information. They just don't know it.
Well, and I would have loved that angle because I'm pretty sure that's a huge a part of like what the actors and writers strike, right? Is as far as like insurance. Like I believe now and it's like 25,000 to 26,000 actors like have to make and SAG to even get insurance, and like most of them don't qualify for that. Let's talk about that. You're, I mean, if you want to talk about reality TV as far as their insurance works, like I would love to talk about that if you want to like spin it that way, as far as like Bravo not providing us insurance, therefore, you know, I had to pay out of pocket, even though, like you said, most of these places you have to pay out of pocket. They insurance might cover like a week or so, or like so many days, but the, definitely her 90 days or a couple months that she was there, they would not cover that.
No.
So like, I'm all about that conversation, like if you want to have that, but let's be real, you already lost people at the whole like the HIPAA violations. So now you're going to then talk, make a statement about Bravo paying for your treatment when you don't elaborate on that. Again, you already lost that. You lost more people. And then to go into the money of it all, which look, I don't think it's wrong that Rachel asked for more money for this season.
I
think they all did. Yeah. Let's be real. They all did. As far as like her asking to be paid as like what Ariana and Tom are getting paid, I don't know the logistics on that. I don't know if it, you know, has to also do with like how many seasons people are on and things like that. Like, I don't like, and when I first, like my first reaction to that was like, what? You know what I mean? Like hearing her say that, like you thought you should get paid the same. However, I don't fault the girl for asking.
Like, I don't either.
I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I also don't know what Tom and Ariana are paid.
I have no idea.
I don't know what she's asking for. That whole conversation was so boring. And I was listening to somebody say, like, I mean, it would really suck if you've been working a job for 7 or 8 years and then, you know, a newbie gets paid as much as you. And I was like, that just happened to me at my last job. And like, it did suck, but it does happen. And like, it's not just because of like my job performance and not because they were performing exceedingly well, but sometimes like the market changes, the value of things, of services, of whatever goes up and you have to match it. And there's like a scale and a salary scale and all this. So like, I don't fucking know. I don't really care. I think she definitely should have asked for more money. I would have. She had a total case. But like you said, it is kind of confusing for this to be like, definitely not, I'm not going back to reality television. But I mean, if they had offered me a number, but then I think I say that about my job all the time. Like, you know, like,
well,
I'm not going to stay unless, you know, they offered me this crazy ass number. And then I say, but I still wouldn't stay. But then I think about it. I'm like, I mean, if they offered me that, I'd probably stay. I don't know why not, you know?
But then, so, like, Bethany, and if you really want to get down to the nitty gritty, then let's actually talk numbers. Yes. Ask Rachel, how much did you ask for? How much does Tom get paid? Like, you ask her all these questions. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. I want to know this shit, because if you're coming after Brazil, let's lay it all out. How much did you ask for, Rachel? How much do you think, or do you know how much Tom gets paid? Ask her that. But she's not going to ask that, because there is, Bethany, like, has some kind of code as far as, like, what to ask and what not to ask. You know what I mean? She doesn't want to almost ask too much. But you know what? Let's lay it all out there. Ask that question, because I would love to know.
And she could have gone on a whole thing. She could have made this, like, do male reality stars get paid more than female? And what are, you know, like, what's the market price? She loves talking about that kind of shit in any other situation. So get into that. Get you spin it. Like, are they getting rewarded? Mm-hmm. What about, you know, whatever. That would have been a more interesting conversation. But here we are. We're stuck with this really random ass conversation about, you know, whether or not she's going to come back to the show, or whether she was considering it. And then we kind of, like, jump cut to something that I thought was great. And I also thought that this deserved a better, more intimate conversation around it. God, Bethany. So Rachel brings up the Send It to Daryl merch. And I'm going to be honest, as much as I hated that, and thought it was extremely unnecessarily opportunistic of Lala, and I never thought it was funny and cute like everybody else, like, oh, she's getting her coin. Like, I just always thought it was just, like, just blatantly disrespectful. So, okay. But, like, I never really thought about what Rachel thought about that specific thing in the context of this was her cease and desist that she was sending to protect herself. And they sent it directly to Lala, and then Lala had a hissy fit and then made a bunch of merch off of it. And I really just never thought about it that way. And she's right. That would be really fucking annoying. But then it's like the way that they keep going back to, like, oh, Bravo's running to the bank. Well, yes. And so is Lala, and so is Sheena, and so is, you know, I'm not making any money off of this podcast, but there's, like, a broad world of YouTubers, TikTokers, podcasters, content creators, IG people that are making so much money and getting so much attention and clout for you sleeping with this guy. And I don't care about, like, what of it you're seeing, right? Like, I don't care about you seeing a dime. I care about how you fucking feel about that, because that is a mind warp to me. And Bethany, I know that all you give a shit about is money. And because you haven't been nearly as relevant as Rachel is right now in years, and I know that that probably bothers her, but, like, let's talk about it. So, yeah, I was excited when we started talking about Send It to Daryl, because I was like, fuck that. I hated that. And then the fuck me in this t-shirt and that, you know, and just, like, and then something about her got, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars for their sandwich shop that they weren't going to be able to start had it not been for Scandoval and the revival, and, like, basically keeping everybody's keeping their jobs for another season. But they didn't take that angle. And it just turned into a conversation about them running to the bank, like, using these, like, weird,
So funny. Yeah, well, and how about, like, look, I understand reality stars, when stuff like this happens, like, look, Lala has made her coin, Sheena has, Ariana has, hell, even Sandoval has with Tori, you know what I mean? Like, they all have. I don't fault them for, like, taking this opportunity and, like, going with it, because let's be real, I do, and I actually hope this will be the last season of VPR. So they need to make this coin before the show goes away, because then you're going to have to figure out other ways of income. Yep. However, I don't, and this could have been something that Bethany could have said, like, Rachel, you chose to actually go to treatment instead of like staying in this game. Yeah. And like, because let's be real, Rachel could have came up. There were actually still, there were people, although they were lost in messages, there were still people on Rachel's side when this whole started. There were, you know what I mean? They're yeah. very far. They it didn't see it a lot, but like Rachel could have went some route with this. I don't know what, but Bethany, you know, could have been like, okay, you went into treatment. You came out. If you frame it in a way of like, what was it like? Because I'm sure I would have emotions as well as see like all of this blow up and everyone making all this money. I understand like having a feeling to that. But the way that Bethany and then how Rachel, you know, reacts to those questions, it then goes back to like, okay, so is this just all about the money? Like, right. You know what I mean? But whereas I actually think there were probably true hurt feelings as far as like how this all goes. But we don't get to that. We just get to Lala made this much money. Sheena made money. These old people made money. I didn't make money. Like, what was me? Like,
right.
Even I think, I don't know where it was when Rachel was like, I feel like, you know, oh, Bravo running to the bank. Mm-hmm. Which again, highly recommend the Reality Bites podcast because they kind of talk about like as far as like AdSense and how that goes. Like,
yes.
Did Bravo make money from this? Yes. Not as much as we think, though, just right. because they did not think season 10 was going to be this big. No one right. thought that.
Right.
So like, so as far as like, you're just, you know, and I said this on my Instagram, I was really sad about like how like there's still this like lack of accountability on Rachel's part. And I reflected on that so much. This interview didn't really set that up. You know what I mean? Like set up to really get into that, because I would have loved to hear like, and maybe Rachel's not there yet. And obviously like other things, like I would love to hear her say, but obviously she might not think that or be ready right. to feel those things. But it's just like, I don't know. Like, Rachel, is all this really like about the money with you? Because if it is, then okay. But there's so many other parts that she says that I think get lost. But Bethany sees it as like, oh, all your castmates are making money out of this, but you didn't. What is your brand? You don't have a brand anymore. Well, Rachel, I don't know if you really ever had a brand.
Oh my God. It's literally exactly what she essentially was saying the whole time. Because there was one when she later at towards the end, when she's talking about she wants a podcast, Bethany does her thing that she does where she looks up at the, and you can see her like, and then she can't help yep. herself. She starts to give like advice, and then she's like trying to decide whether or not Rachel's idea was marketable and what's the market yes. for her idea. And I'm just like,
she even says, let's do this. She says
that. She said, let's do it. I'm like, what are you going to buy her? What are you doing? It just like, it yeah. made me uncomfortable. Like, what is, when you start talking, she starts flippantly talking about the dog. So, which I'm also kind of flippant about because I don't like dogs and I don't have a dog. And so I don't understand the nuances of the situation particularly, right? But like, she's like, okay, well, let's talk about this dog thing. What's the dog? Like, okay, like this was a huge like thing, but all right, let's throw it away. And Rachel explains, and again, and she loses me here, that she had a choice to leave treatment. That she'd been trying to rehome Graham for a while because of his behavioral issues. I believe that. And she had a choice yep. to either leave treatment to take care of him or to rehome him. And I'm just like, that's not true, girl. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And that feels like no. something you're just saying to like, it, and I'm sorry, I don't like to accuse her of lying because I feel like there's already so much bullshit surrounding her. But
yeah,
I felt like she was just saying that to like get people off of her back, when in reality, like, she couldn't make the decision about the dog. She was in a, like, she was in a facility. Like, her mom probably, we saw the bite. That thing was gnarly. Her mom probably did rehome the fucking dog without telling Rachel. Or maybe she told her and Rachel said, okay, because the priority, unfortunately, is someone who has been in treatment. Like, what, your parents, your loved ones, like, the priority is, like, is my loved one going to get through this? Are they going to survive this? Are they going to, like, you know, what's going to happen? And I just don't think that Graham, this dog that the parents had no attachment to, that Rachel couldn't take care of, that was, like, you know, biting people's fingers off. I just don't think that that was, like, the priority, and they probably rehomed him. And I just don't think the way that people have reacted, like, as if, I mean, they don't have this kind of reaction for humans. So it's just really weird to me. And then, sorry to go on this dog rant, but then the craziest thing of all of this is that Rachel says, which I have been on an internet campaign saying this bullshit for the past several weeks. Why the fuck would she get, would she want this dog to go to James? Not even on, I wasn't even trying to accuse him of being some sort of, like, bad dog owner. I'm just saying they hate each other, and her parents hate James. Why would they give the dog to James? I don't understand people that think that would be a logical move. The guy's unhinged. We've seen it before. And then Rachel says, well, you know, he's the reason that that the dog has a biting problem, because he would bite James's hand. And he would encourage him to bite harder because he liked the sensation. And I gotta be honest with you, I believe her. Like, and I don't know what to make of that. And I'm not on some, like, some people on Reddit took it to a really dark place. All I'm saying is that,
I imagine,
like, all I'm saying is that James encourages violence from creatures. So that's disturbing to me. That's disturbing behavior. And that's about it. I was like, doesn't say, did you hear what she said? Like, why would she? She just goes, oh, I'm like,
yeah, no, there's so much more. And, like, let's, like, really break this down, because we saw, what was the last thing Rachel in the car with the girls talked about? Like, the, like, kind of last interaction that James had.
Yes.
With her parents.
Yes.
Called her mom, like, a fat bitch, right?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
So, Rachel's in treatment. The dog bites her to the bone.
Yes.
I do not think it is in Rachel's mom, let me call up James. Let me call my loving, almost, you know,
almost son-in-law.
Almost son-in-law. Let me call him and ask him if he would like James. That's was never in their mind.
No.
And I do not fault them. Now, did I'm not gonna lie, like, and I've said this before, with what's coming out, sometimes, like, I do sometimes find myself having an intense reaction to it and then, like, reflecting. So I was one of those people when I read that, I was like, wait, why didn't, like, she reach out to James first? So I was like, oh, well, yeah, duh. But, you know, like, I settled down. Like, and I was like, well, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. But they, again, I'm right there with you as far as, like, Rachel and that, like, line about, like, kind of how this all went down. I think they're, it's not quite, like, what she's telling it. But I also understand that people are very, very, very sensitive when it comes to dogs. Like, good Lord. It is intense. And I love dogs. So, like, but I also understand there are many factors that come along. Especially when kids, you know, I mean, kids get involved and things like that. So, like, I can understand all aspects.
Yeah.
But to then say, and I quote, where's it at? Like, that James would teach him or, like, have him bite because he liked the sensation. And for Bethany to have no follow-up questions.
Nothing.
Because guess what? In my mind, because I watched the show, I think back to, oh yeah, remember when James was talking to Lala and was talking about how that one girl bit him?
Bit him? Thank you.
And,
that's what I thought about too.
And he liked it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where my mind goes, but Bethany doesn't. So like you didn't ask about that. You're like, hang on, back up. You're saying that James liked it? Did
yes.
he get turned on by that? Say that. Say those words.
Yes.
Because that's where my mind went.
Yes. Like, I immediately thought, I think her name was Laura. And
yes,
she
it was.
Came to this. She was co-hosting with Lala, and she came with the bite marks. One of them had bite marks on their actual back. I can't remember if it was Laura or if it was James. But I think it was James because he had his shirt off. And
yeah, that's how Lala knew.
Lala yep. said something to him about it. Yep. And he was like, oh, darling, Laura, she's crazy. You know, whatever. He was saying that to somebody. And
yep.
we like learned that he had some sort of like biting kink or something. So that's.
I was like, hey, go for it. But
oh, yeah, I don't care at all. Like, that's totally fine.
But a dog.
But if a dog's doing that and you're like, and that is how. I mean, I don't know about dogs, but if you are not punishing the behavior and you're incentivizing it, that seems like how it works with. I know how it works with kids, but maybe I don't get how it works with dogs. But
with dogs, it's a lot of like positive. It's mostly you should focus on like positive reinforcement. But like, so James, what Rachel is saying, like James had him bite his hand. And if James liked that, it was like, oh, good boy. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, good boy, Graham. Graham's going to, like, keep doing that. And, like, and I've also heard, like, people say, like, okay, so, like, you know, Rachel and James break up. Rachel then has Graham. It sounds like, could she have gotten him, like, training then? Yeah, I could say, like, you know what I mean? Like, she could have. But... then it kind of, again, then it sounds like everything after that just kind of spiraled and then scandal and then the treatment, like everything happened after that. But like, Bethany, you couldn't just ask a follow-up question. Just one.
Like, she didn't even go like, wait, what?
She had no reaction.
I was like, do you give a shit about this interview anymore? Like, are you bored?
You probably didn't even hear her. Yeah, because she even said, my favorite thing, Bethany, after like all of that, and then Rachel like went on to say about like, you know, this narrative of like, I dumped Graham at the shelter to be right. euthanized. And then Bethany goes, oh, Jesus, you've gotten yourself into a whole shitstorm.
Yeah. I was like, okay, so she's not listening. She's not
nope,
listening
she
at all.
Didn't listen. Because you would have had a reaction. If she would have listened to Rachel say that, anyone would have reacted that way.
I again literally did in the middle of Kroger when she said he likes the sensation. I'm like, do you just think that she's full of shit? Like, what is your how are you in the room right now? And I just
she didn't listen.
She wasn't listening, and it was very irritating. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. And I'm just reading your notes. Oh, because Bethany asks her, again, a pretty decent question, but only because it was suiting Bethany. She asked her if people had been acting differently towards Rachel because there were these rumors that Rachel was involved with this lawsuit that Bethany is allegedly involved in. And yep. she wanted to know if Bravo had been treating Rachel any differently. Now, this is very clearly something they had discussed beforehand. And right. it was something that, like, Bethany prepped her, she was going to bring up. And Rachel said that Bravo offered to send security out to Rachel's home because of death threats, which the death threats thing is always, like, for me with celebrities, I'm always like, what's happening? Like, are people right. showing up at your house, or is it the guy on Reddit in the comments? Like,
right.
what like level of detail are we going to need for this? But it doesn't really matter. Though I will say, as someone as you have been as well, who's been on Reddit, it does seem like
things really ramped up for Rachel in the past couple of months. Even more so than when they originally said that they had been receiving death threats. I kind of thought it was a little bit of bullshit, but now, like currently, I kind of am like, yeah, she literally has people every single day, hundreds of them, saying that they wish that she would just go away and never come back. And I know that, like, maybe you or I could read that once and be all right, but I mean, it is said so many times. They say over things of that, again. Like, say things of that nature, and like, and then the people, not to go on a Reddit rant, but the people in the comments will be like, well, no one's telling her to go kill herself. And I'm like, maybe not, but you're calling her an animal abuser. You're calling her the most vile, disgusting person on the planet. You're calling her the most vile person that could ever exist. You never want to see her. She doesn't deserve to ever be seen. She is nothing. Go fuck yourself with the cheese grater. You know, like, these things are going on and on. So it's not a good feeling. So maybe you're not literally telling her to go unalive herself, but you are definitely contributing to a really shitty narrative about this girl who didn't sleep with your mans. I don't know why you feel like this about it. It stresses me out.
Well, and it's weird because while, like, standable, I will say, has gotten a lot of hate. Not like that from what I've seen. Not like, his is like,
he's a loser.
Like, he's a narcissist. He is like, you know what I mean? Things like that, like people coming at him that way. But like what you just mentioned, as far as like, you're pretty much like saying like you want her dead without saying you want her dead.
Yep.
I, not saying that there wasn't out there. I didn't really see that scrolling through like Sandoval's like statements. Not saying, and again, neither of them, no one deserves to be told that. But it just is weird. And like, I will say, Rachel made a point about like this bringing up something in people who have experienced this or who have, you know what I mean, known someone to experience. It does bring up emotions in you. But it's like, that is a fair point of like, okay, we don't want to see Rachel on our TV, but we want to see Sandoval.
Right.
I don't like, to me, I've said this from the start, that man triggers me like no other. Like, his behavior, like, oh my God, like I cannot with him. But again, I would not ever say the things that some people like are saying. So it just, I don't. There is this line of like, I'm very much like, you can hold Rachel accountable. You can say you don't like her. You don't want to like watch her. Totally fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She wasn't like really a huge part of Vanderpump.
Right.
And so like, I get that. But as we talked about before we started recording, Reddit has been a whole different ballgame when it comes to Rachel. And I usually am the type where I would like read every comment on like the recaps that I post. But like the Bethany interview one, I couldn't, because I was like, some of them, again, I think were valid critiques about as far as like Rachel's accountability and lack of and like things like that. I can read that. Where it can go so far to where now the mods have to make rules about it now, like, it's went too far as like what people are saying. And it has been for a while.
It has been, guys. And you've heard me talk about this. And we did have an extensive conversation before we recorded, because I thought I would save you all from my Reddit rants. But this week, or today, actually, a few hours ago, the Vanderpump Rules main subreddit had to like make a new rule, essentially, to... like, that we can't talk about, we basically can't talk about Raquel anymore. Like, we can't talk about her unless it is directly pertaining to the show. But we cannot talk about Rachel in the future. Because people have gotten so out of hand. And bless her, I don't think she listens to the show, but a friend of mine even replied at one point. It's just like a, it's like a very wild narrative that's just not true, like about Rachel, that is just it, you're saying things because it's like things that people say. And a friend of mine replied to something I said on Instagram about Rachel, and she said, I just don't know what she thinks she's going to get out of this whole apology tour. And I was like, she's not on an apology tour. This is the first time we've heard from her in four or five months. That's not an apology tour. But like things like that characterize her similarly to how like maybe a Stassi would be characterized. And that shit pisses me off because Stassi lost her platform for a reason. And I'm going to save my Stassi rant from you all today. But y'all know how I feel about the bitch. And I really like, I can't stand when like people start to even make the little comparison of like, well, you know, Rachel feels like she's been the most victimized, but you know, Stassi, don't even go there, because the next thing you're going to have to come out of your mouth is, well, I mean, it's totally different. If you have to say that and you know, as you're saying whatever you're trying to say, you're going to say that, don't say it, because it makes me look at you crazy. Like,
not the same thing at all.
It's not the same thing. You should not give this much of a fuck that Rachel slept with Tom Sandoval. Like, either a lot of you are like lying about hating Sandoval and you're like secretly in love with him and you feel as slighted as Ariana, or you really have to unpack whatever it is that like got you to this point. Because I'm telling you, that VPR sub doesn't post shit for nothing. They don't change rules for anything. They have let some of the craziest things I've seen, not about Rachel, just in general, just like fly. And y'all got us. Yeah, I mean, they banned us from talking about Raquel. And I think it's really like,
yeah. And they first had to make a post about like the consent and speculation.
Right.
Like they first, like, cause again, some of the comments and messages that I have gotten about that, I'm like, whew, I don't have the energy to go down this whole, again, rabbit hole of why people do not report things, or like, it's just not that simple. So like, for them to have that, and then for them to actually create this, because like, I'm on Instagram, and I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm one of those people where like, oh, that is interesting. Like, Rachel's like deleting pictures off her Instagram. She changed her name. I actually like to learn about this stuff, but I know if you post that on Reddit, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's what happened. She deleted photos. Oh, she hasn't deleted any photos of James yet. Oh, they must have still had a good relationship. But then she did delete photos of James, right? Mm-hmm. So they're just like, and again, I understand having immediate reaction to things, but I also understand to like take time to like reflect, and also like things obviously can change. So, but like when people post that, my God, you're literally looking at everything this girl is doing, which again, I like to learn that stuff. But when you see things, you're like, oh, she didn't do this. Oh, she still follows this person. Oh, she is doing this. So this must mean this. We don't know. Could be an interesting conversation on Reddit as far as like, oh, Rachel changed her name on Instagram. Oh, Rachel she does seem to be really like want to be move on from Vanderpump.
Yeah.
But that's not how that conversation went on Reddit at all.
No.
People can have different opinions about that, but when it gets like actually nasty, and there's a difference between those conversations.
Well, and there's even comments like, I see a lot of like, yep, proof right there. She never went to a facility. Yep, proof right there. She doesn't have any soul. It's always, yep, proof right there. Large sweeping statement, or, you know, a facial expression equals this. And it's like, really, like I've said a couple of times in Reddit, like these comments are really triggering, because I look at my own life and my own experiences and I'm like, should I be way more grateful that like I was given time to grow and change from mistakes that I made in situations I was in? Because like, you guys are making me feel like I was supposed to be like burned at the stake for things that I was involved in, or that I should have reacted differently to things that were done to me in a relationship, and that I should have like held it over people's heads for much longer than I did, and I should hate them forever, and that I didn't maybe process my own situation right. Like I've seriously like sat down and had to question things like that about my life because of these people on the subreddit, because I'm like, God damn, does cheating really affect people this much? Like so many people, it's really crazy. It's really unhinged.
And it's almost like, I feel like people that, like you mentioned earlier, this was the really first time that we heard from Rachel.
Yeah.
So really what you can take out of this interview is you don't believe anything she says.
Right.
You don't think she's having any accountability. You're done with her. Fair. I
totally fair. Yes.
There are some people who are like, you know what? I actually really enjoyed most of this interview. I am actually like interested to see where Rachel goes from here. Right. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of in the middle.
Right.
I am very curious what she's going to do. There's still a lot of things that I don't think she's taking accountability on. But I actually had this thought today. She was in that affair for 7 months. She has only been, the news has only hit for 7 months.
Yeah.
So we are still, there's still a lot. If this interview would have been done in like a year from now, I bet there would have been a whole, and not without Bethany.
Yes.
With no Bethany. Bethany. It could have been so different. Yeah. But like, I can understand like whoever like goes with those like paths as far as like the interview and like what you think. But to like then go on like Reddit or any other platform and say like some of these like horrific things, or like you say, even like not necessarily how to be horrific, or even people like, oh, there's proof right there. Proof? Like, I don't know. And I understand like as far as it, there was cheating, there was lies, there is like how long this went, there was still like Rachel did stuff that I was just like, what is going on? Like, I understand all that, but also like you made a very good like point about this on your comments on Reddit. I also recognize that I don't know any of these people.
Yeah.
And it could come out tomorrow that this, you know what I mean, like more information like every day. So it's like, I also like recognize that too. I also like to have fun and like kind of like make funny jokes and like also critique things. But I never wanted, if I actually like got to a place where I started to feel like really, really pure hatred for these people, I would need to take a step back.
Yes. And I've, you know who takes me there? Lala really will take me to a place of like wanting to really rage out on the internet. Ramona Singer takes me there. Erica Jane takes me there. Ramona Singer makes me want, like, I would literally rather listen to Bethany interview Raquel for 7 more hours straight than ever have to deal with Ramona Singer for real. But the Lala takes me there because she is an opportunist and she's a hypocrite, and it's very difficult for me because people really like her, but then they don't extend the same grace to Raquel. And so when Raquel says, this is like wrapping up the interview, of the people that have reached out, she has a no con, I'm assuming it's a self-imposed like no contact order with anyone. The only two people she's talked to is Lisa Vanderpump, because Rachel alleges that the whatever place Graham was taken to reached out to Vanderpump for a donation, and Vanderpump got the dog back to James. And so she reached out to Vanderpump to express her concerns, and Vanderpump tried to reel her back in, and it didn't work. And then Lala reached out in DMs, she says, and Raquel was like, I didn't respond because I don't really trust that individual. And I'm like, well, no shit, Raquel. Thank you, God. Proof right there. I'm going to be a Reddit person. There's your proof right there. She went to therapy because goddamn, in the moment where absolutely nobody wants shit to do with you, everyone is on here. What kind of person, why would Lala do that? Why would she reach out to Raquel knowing full well that Raquel could have very well been like, yes, because she needed the friend. Because you, Lala, mm-hmm. participated in some really heinous berating of her. And I, you know what? People aren't able to understand what Rachel meant when she said she thinks that it had something to do with wanting to like team up with her to bring Randall down for narcissism. And I don't know how to explain that I knew exactly what she meant, even though it was a very vague statement. And Bethany asked no follow up. But
nope.
I was like, I know exactly what she means. I think she made the exact right decision. That's totally what Lala would have done. 100%. I have no doubt in my mind. I mean, maybe not, yeah. But probably, you know.
Well, and it's, so when with Scandival, I actually like my opinion of Lala has like always went back and forth, but mm-hmm. I actually really did enjoy her podcast when like Scandival was happening.
Oh, however, me too. Yeah.
I actually felt like I was maybe getting to know Lala like a little bit, but then Scandival was over. Season 11 started. She now, it seems like, doesn't really know what to do with her podcast, if I'm honest.
I haven't listened
yeah.
to everything.
It doesn't seem like she really knows like what to do. And then it's interesting. I actually told you this too, because when I was getting like hints like pretty early on that Lala seemed kind of over it and was like kind of like trying to hear Sandoval out more. Mm-hmm. And like I was picking up on that where I was like, what? But then that photo came out with Sheena in the group and all that direction went on to Sheena.
Yep.
And again, I had an immediate reaction right when I saw that photo because I was like, oh, because to me, I'm like, no one should be near Sandoval ever.
Right.
But to me, I was kind of like, why is no one like in that moment? It almost like to me, I was still getting the vibe that like Sheena really wasn't like talking to Sandoval, but it was more Lala. But that photo came out and then like now Sheena has kind of like, well, even I still really don't know where Sheena and Sandoval like are, but Lala has straight out said she's just trying to like not project and like not she's trying to see everyone's side. She wants Sandoval or Schwartz and Sandys to succeed. She wants that for everybody. This has completely turned.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Can people like grow and reflect on things? Again, absolutely.
Yes.
But the way y'all say Sheena flip flops, I need you. And look, I've been on that train too, where like I thought that was Sheena, but I also need you to like Lala for like all of that. And then for her to message Rachel, which I honestly believe that she did. Lala's intentions were not to be helpful to Rachel.
No.
And God, thank God that Rachel didn't take that whatever bait it was.
Yep.
Because they have never been friends on the show. Lala has never liked her.
No.
And so for Rachel to say that Lala has reached out to her, I was like, why am I like, my mind was blown, but also I was not surprised.
Right.
And I have no doubt that Lala on her podcast on Wednesday is either going to say one or two things. She's going to say like, I'm not even going to have energy for this. Like, thanks for the send it to Daryl shout out. Or she's going to be like, yeah, you little Bambi-eyed bitch. I did reach out to you because of blah, blah, blah. And it's not going to be true. Like, no. It's not. Like, she's not going to say her real intentions on why she reached out. I would love to know, of course, Bethany didn't ask this, the timeline. When yes. did she, I would love, because that would be interesting. And that
would be interesting.
When was that timeline? When did Tom send those emails? what was that timeline? Because we also know up until some point, her and Rachel and Tom were still talking.
Yeah.
So like, when were these emails sent? I would love to know when Lala sent that message. I would love to know.
I would
was it
too.
Right after the reunion? Was it right before? Was it when season 11 started?
Was it when all of the contract negotiations, Raquel may not be filming, started coming out? Because that would be really interesting, because what I think Lala would have wanted to do, perhaps, is be the position herself to maybe look like the one with forgiveness in her heart. You know, and so she would have Raquel on and she would be willing to have the conversation. So everybody on, again, Reddit and Instagram, thank you, Queens of Bravo, you guys are psychos, have Sheena on your radar. Meanwhile, as a Sheena subscriber, Sheena's like out in like Malibu with like her random friends, like, and her daughter in the beach. And you guys are focused on her. And Lala's like outright doing this shit. Like, it's always been like this. And then Rachel makes an offhanded comment about how Lala stole Brock's house or something like that. And I was looking into that today and I was like, see, this is so weird. My theory was always Lala bought the house next to Sheena because she's low-key trying to trap Sheena in a lifetime of friendship, and Sheena will never get out of it because she has such a people-pleasing problem. So that's my theory. But the Brock thing, I was like, I don't know. I don't think that Rachel, I think that she lied, right? But I don't know that I would call her a liar the way that I would call Sandoval a liar. Like,
right.
And what? Just some of the shit that she says, some of the stuff that Rachel said in this interview, I was like, there's smoke there, because what would ever make someone say off the cuff, oh, James liked the biting because of he likes the sensation, or she stole Brock's house, or there was some sort of HIPAA law violated. And I just like some of the stuff she was saying, I was like, there's something there. It's just not what you're presenting. And I want to know what it is. I want to know what it is.
And it's even like, first of all, going back, this is my theory. I feel like because of what Lala has been saying, I really think going back, I think this will be the last season of VPR.
Yes.
Lala has been kind of hinting that she seems to be over reality TV, but also, but it's weird. Like, so I think she's having this season. People came for her at the reunion, said she went too hard. I think she is taking this. Rachel didn't come to have her redemption arc. Lala is thinking she's going to get her redemption arc. So she's going to come in and like play nice and try to be like understanding.
Yep.
And like listen to Sandoval. And again, either this weird vibe of kind of being over reality TV, maybe she won't, or she's going to go off to that spinoff that they're doing. Like, that's the vibe that like she's going to want to go over to if that spinoff lasts. So that is where I think she's going. Now, as far as like this whole, again, Bethany, can you please ask elaboration on that? What do you mean Lala bought a house underneath Brock? Was there a joke? Did Brock make a joke one day about, you know, oh, Lala bought that house next door? I thought about maybe buying it. Like, what was it? Or it's weird that she said Brock and not Brock and Sheena.
Right.
It is like that to me. Like, were you and Brock having a conversation at one point and just saying, like, that really stuck out to me. So I don't, it could just be a flat out lie, but also I think it came from somewhere, whether it was a joke, was a joke, or it was a conversation that just him and Rachel had. But again, like Bethany, if you were to watch the show or do your damn research, you know, that would have been a golden opportunity to ask them questions, right? Because there obviously were some speculations about Brock and Rachel and things like that. And like, again, like Brock came out and said they weren't true. Sheena believes him and things like that. I don't necessarily think they like hooked up or anything, but you could have asked, because my radar kid kind of was like, wait, what? Like, did Brock tell Rachel this? Like, what is going on?
Like, what?
But Bethany did not. She was already tuned out and thinking about how to make this about her. She did not listen to to Rachel say that.
But I'm trying to think, like, whatever Brock's motivation. So why would Brock buy the house next door? Immediately, I'm thinking Kardashians. I'm thinking he has family in another country. Maybe he was buying a house for some of his family to be closer, right? That's what I would immediately.
Right. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe he wanted to pull, again, Kardashians, the Scott Disick, and start some sort of like semi-grifty house flipping real estate thing. Who knows, right?
Yeah. Right.
In a really dark world, even though like, we really haven't seen Brock and Sheena. And I guess, you know, relationships can fool us. But again, I have so much more access to so much more content of Sheena's life than I have ever had of Sandoval and Ariana.
You're right.
I don't think that they were having any kind of struggles that would like constitute Brock like buying a house next door, you know, like to get away from Sheena. Like, I guess an argument could be made, like maybe he was buying a house so that they wouldn't live together, but he could still be close to Summer. But that doesn't make sense.
No.
Because they have another house. Because like, there's like a lot of reasons. So then, and then Rachel implied it like it was malicious. So like, when I'm thinking, oh, this was a house that Brock wanted to buy for whatever reason, if it didn't go through, like he didn't have the money, he didn't have the credit, he didn't, I don't know, it had asbestos, I don't know. Like, why would Lala, what would be a malicious intention of Lala to get that from under Brock? So like you said, did Brock try to buy the house and it didn't go through and he felt away and then Lala came and snatched it up because Sheena was like, oh, well, we have this house next door, it's for sale, blah, blah, blah. Like, what is going on with you people?
I fully think that I actually really do think if Lala did actually buy that house from underneath Brock, I actually really do think Brock would bring that up. I think Brock would have actually said something like, that would have got brought up on the show. That would have got brought up somewhere. Like,
on
I really
podcast,
do.
Because he's, on the he's pretty candid on the podcast.
He is. So I have no doubt if this was like a malicious act from Lala, like it would have gotten brought up. And Sheena did say she's going to address, I think, that at least that
she
part
did,
on
yeah,
the podcast.
I saw that. Yeah.
So I'm very interested to hear how she talks about that. Because
yeah, she's not going to be telling the full truth. Let's just be honest here.
Right. But I would also, if she has Brock on, I would love to know. I would be like, how did she get this? Where did this come from?
Yeah.
It came from somewhere. I don't know where. I don't think she just pulled that out of her ass, but I do think it came from somewhere, whether it had been a joke or something that just fell through. None of it makes sense. Again, her just saying Brock said, or like from under Brock, not Brock and Sheena. Oh, Bethany, why couldn't you have just asked one more follow-up question?
Just at any point during the entire interview, if she had just asked a question. But she the thing that she has the most questions about and the most interest in is at the very end, Rachel indicates that she's going to start a podcast. Because there's not really it's an untapped market, she says, of people coming out as the other woman, which is, you know, true that people like I've noticed on Reddit, I've found it very interesting. And Bethany made a good point. For everybody that's in a cheating affair, there's also a mistress. So there's as many mistresses as there are people that get cheated on. And those people don't like. let's just say I have my own story that I am just scared to share on a public forum because of the way people talk about these things. So yeah. in Rachel's defense, I think she's kind of right. Now, I don't know if untapped market is the exact like verbiage I would use, but, you know, and I'll listen and I'll, well, I just, you know, I really don't know that she can, that she would be a good podcast host, if I'm being totally honest, not to be judgmental, but I don't think she's going to be a good podcast host.
No. And like, look, did I maybe predict this, that this was going to happen? Possibly. Because did I put that out in the universe? I am Rachel coming soon. Maybe. We'll see what she does with the title. But if she would have not done this Bethany interview and her first podcast episode would have been about this, Rachel, if money was a thing, you could have made a good, you know what I mean? Like possibly a good chunk of change from doing that, but you went this route. But okay, you're going to start a podcast.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned earlier, Bethany's wheels are already turned on how she could profit off of
this. She's literally looking up at the ceiling over Rachel, and it's so funny. It's cartoonish. You can see the wheels turning. It's so funny.
So, but Rachel, that is like, again, she wasn't a huge part of BPR. She didn't carry the show. So like podcasting, like it is very hard to be able to like talk for that amount of time and to carry like your own show.
Right.
So like, I don't know, like, let's say you have like, or because she mentioned also bringing on like experts, like what kind of experts, what are you going to like bring on? Or like, are you going to bring on other women who have been like the quote unquote mistress or like someone in a relationship? That might be kind of interesting, but I don't know if you know what kind of questions to ask. I also don't know how you wouldn't turn it. You would have to be very careful to not turn it into this, like, I don't know. You would just have to be very careful with how you did that. It could actually be interesting because I know some people have like shared their stories on Reddit, and I actually have a lot of like compassion for them as far as like, I know this one person talked about how they basically had to move.
Yeah.
Like out of their town because of like what happened and stuff. So like, I think it is not always this like, I think there could be multiple layers to people's stories on how things happen as far as like how that goes as involving like being the other person that, you know, in the relationship or being in the affair. And so it could be interesting. But I don't think Rachel's the type that can do that podcast. Just as the same as Bethany, I don't think Rachel is your girl to lead this reality reckoning.
No.
I think you had this idea that she was going to be, and that you were going to get this really raw and emotional interview, and you didn't get that. And what's really sad is like, this interview could have been done in such a like respectable way, but also hard hitting questions.
Yeah.
That like I would have loved to hear from Rachel that I didn't get to hear at the reunion, but it didn't go that way. So now again, we're left with people deciding like, do you believe Rachel? Do you not? Do you kind of believe her? Do you kind of want to hear for more from her? Are you done? Like I said, I'm kind of in between. Will I listen to her podcast? Absolutely. Cause I'm like, what is that going to be like?
Yeah.
But Bethany, she's not your girl for all this. You got to leave her alone, please.
Please leave her alone.
Leave her
alone. I will say that I have just decided definitively that I will ghostwrite and produce Hey Mistress, the podcast for Raquel Levis. And I will bring guests on. And every week, it'll be a story of someone who was the other person. And then like we could have some high profile mistresses. We could get into like the sex work industry if we really wanted to. Like it could
interesting.
There's like a lot of interesting stuff to come from. Like Bethany was right. Well, Bethany didn't really, actually Rachel was right. It is kind of like a cool idea, but she just needs someone to execute it. And Raquel, yes. Rachel, if you're listening, I'm your girl, okay? I got you. I will not, I mean, I can't pay you, but I'll do it, you know?
Well, she also didn't get paid for this, so what would be the difference?
Like, wait, there would be no difference. My God. Lindsay, I have kept you for such a long amount of time. I apologize, but I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. Tell everybody where they can find you on Reddit, Instagram, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so my Instagram is Vanderpod Recaps. Like you said, I recap mostly Vanderpump stuff, but I've also dabbled now into Housewives. And then on Reddit, again, I did not make this name, but if you ever see the name Additional War 8759, that is also me. I know it's confusing because I think people for a while thought that they were two separate people and that I made the Instagram to post that person's recaps, but they're all the same. It is me.
Yes.
But yeah, that's where you can find me.
And you can find me at Who TF Knows Emily Rose. That's at Who TF Knows Emily Rose on Instagram. You can also find my personal Instagram at Emily Agogo, at WTFK Emily Rose on X. This is the first time I've had to say X instead of Twitter.
Yes.
That's stupid. It's on Twitter. And yeah, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.